Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. We are thankful to have the opportunity to bring to you, after 30 years of broadcasting, the reassuring message of God's free and sovereign grace. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Pray as we go forward together this morning into God's Word. Please stay tuned for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.
Friends, welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast again. What a privilege it is to share this time with you in the glorious truths of the Word of God. We trust that you'll pray for us as we come together around the pages of God's Holy Word. We continue in our study, verse-by-verse expositional study of the Gospel of John. We've been several weeks now in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, which is one of the most rich passages in all of the four Gospels, underscoring the truths of salvation by the sovereign grace of God. And this morning's passage is no different. As we turn to John chapter 10, verses 16 through 18. Let us pray that God would bless our coming together today to His name's honor and glory in the strengthening and the encouragement of your heart toward a life of Christ-honoring discipleship. John chapter 10, verses 16 through 18. He says, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I've power to lay it down, I've power to take it again. And this commandment have I received of my Father." Now notice Isaiah 53 as Charles Haddon Spurgeon referred to Isaiah's prophecy as the Gospel of Isaiah, and it's certainly glorious truth, as vivid depiction in the Old Testament of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ as we have. I want us to look in line with John 10, verses 16 through 18, Isaiah 53, verses 10 through 12. It describes the death of our Lord Jesus Christ as that which God the Father did to His Son when He made Him to be sin for us. Notice what Isaiah, seeing the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, 600 or 700 years before it comes to pass, Isaiah said, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him," that is, the Son of God, "to grief, the Father. When thou, the Father, shalt make his soul, the Son's soul, an offering for sin, he shall see a seed, the Savior. He shall prolong his days. The Father and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul," that is the Son, "he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge," the Son's knowledge, "shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I," that is the Father, "will divide a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he," the Son, "hath poured out his soul unto death, and he," the Son, "was numbered with the transgressors, and he," the Son, "bare the sin of many and made the intercession for the transgressors." Now, Isaiah, in Isaiah 50, verses 5 through 7, describes our Lord's sacrificial obedience unto death. And that's the heart of the message today. Whether it's in John chapter 10, verses 16 through 18, Isaiah 53, and the verses 10 through 12 that we've just read, now Isaiah 50, verses 5 through 7, describes the Son's sacrificial obedience to the Father unto death. Even the death of the cross is our voluntary substitute in surety. Like all the law of God given to Israel, the law regarding the bond slave in Exodus chapter 21 was a messianic prophetic law, and it portrayed the work of our Lord Jesus Christ as Jehovah's righteous servant in the covenant of grace before the worlds were made, the Son of God, our Savior, before the foundation of the world became Jehovah's voluntary servant that he might redeem and save his people by his free obedience to God as our substitute. And that's what Isaiah describes in Isaiah 50, verses 5 through 7. Notice what he says. The Lord hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious. This is the Son of God speaking in messianic prophecy. He said, I didn't turn away back. I gave my back to the smiters. Now, he's prophesying 700 years in advance of what he's going to do at Calvary. As at Calvary, he gives us back to the smiters. He said, my cheeks I gave them that plucked off my hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore I've set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Now we go back to John chapter 10, John's gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Savior speaks of himself as the good shepherd who gave his life for his sheep, as Isaiah described it in Isaiah 50 and Isaiah 53. Let us never tire of reading and hearing and meditating upon these blessed words. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. As in Isaiah, he gave his back to the smiters and his face to those that would spit upon it. He said in verse 8, in verse 15 of John chapter 10, I lay down my life for the sheep. Then in verse 16, our Savior declares, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Then in verses 17 and 18, he tells us that he must bring all of his sheep into his fold by laying down his life for the sheep in his own obedience to the Father as the shepherd of the sheep. Oh, what a shepherd he is, my friends, who dies that the sheep may live. Listen, beloved, in these two magnificent verses of Holy Scripture, our Lord Jesus Christ describes his own death, the death he must accomplish at Jerusalem as an act of voluntary, free obedience to his Father. He said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man, he said, taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Bless his holy name. He said, I've power to lay it down. I've power to take it again. And this commandment have I received of my Father. In these verses, we have a description of our Lord's sacrificial obedience unto death, even the death of the cross as our voluntary surety and substitute. I want to ask you a question. The death of our Lord Jesus is the most wonderful, astounding, magnificent event in the history of the universe. Nothing that is, has been, or shall be can be compared to it. Yet as he was suffering the wrath of God, bearing the sins of his people, dying as the voluntary substitute for guilty, hell-deserving, hell-bent sinners such as we are, we hear the Son of God expressing the most woeful, unexplainable lamentation imaginable. As he prophesies back in the book of Lamentations, he says this in Lamentation 1:12, is it nothing to you, all you that pass by, behold and see, as he's talking about Calvary, if there be any sorrow likened unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. When I hear those words falling from the lips of the Son of God as he hangs upon the cursed tree, I simply cannot avoid asking, of whom does the bleeding Lamb of God speak these words? To whom is the death of Christ meaningless and insignificant? Is it nothing to you, he says, all you that pass by? Nothing in the universe is more wonderful and magnificent than the in the eyes of God than the death of his dear son. The Savior himself declares, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. The angels of heaven, like the cherubs, ever facing the mercy seat, ever looking into the mystery and the wonder of redemption by the blood of Christ, with great astonishment, as the cherubs in the Old Testament were a faithful witness of astonishment to the deeds that took place as the blood was sprinkled over the mercy seat. And so the heavenly witnesses that day, looking at the faithful Lamb of God and his blood being sprinkled on the eternal mercy seat, God's servants, they were astonished. And God's faithful gospel preachers are often so overwhelmed with the wonders of redemption and the glory of the Redeemer that they never cease to study, to glory in, and to preach the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, 40 years ago, as just a teenage boy, I began to glory in and I began to try and preach the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. 40 years ago, I took as a text Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of Christ, whereby I'm crucified in the world and the world unto me. 40 years ago, I was trying to preach 1 Corinthians 2:2. Brethren, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:2, but brethren, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And let me say, nothing has changed. I still delight in the cross of Christ. 40 years later, you delight in it. Redeemed sinners on the earth cherish nothing, delight in nothing, marvel at nothing like we do the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise his holy name. The ransom in glory appear to think of nothing and speak of nothing except the dying love of the Lamb in the midst of the throne, as that glorious passage in Revelation chapter 5 indicates. That's all they sing about. Worthy is the Lamb, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us by thy blood. Oh, my friends, that Christ would triumph, Christ would crush the serpent by his death on the cross and put our sins away from us as far as the east is from the west. Yet as astonishing as it is to imagine the death of Christ, it's amazing that there are some today who, as it were with astonishment, it seems that his death is meaningless and insignificant and nothing. Oh, my friends, it's amazing. There are those who still pass by today, pass by a sacrifice, pass by the death of the substitute, the unbelieving, Christless soul. How dark it should let us know is the impact, the effects of sin upon the soul of a man who's not been touched by divine grace. Our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom it is written, grace is poured into his lips, declares plainly that at his death at Calvary was the free, voluntary act of his own obedience to his Father's will, by which he won the Father's love as our mediator and as our surety. Now, he had the Father's love as the Son from all eternity, my friends, but he secured his role as mediator and surety as the covenant in the covenant of grace by the sacrifice of himself. Notice what he said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down to myself. Power to lay it down, power to take it again. That's the commandment that I received of my Father. And so he's dear to the Father today as the mediator and the surety of the new covenant. In John chapter 10, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of himself not as God's eternal Son, but as the good shepherd, the mediator, the surety of his people. He says, this commandment have I received of my Father. And with those words, he declares that his death as our substitute was arranged by God before the world began. The death of Christ was not accomplished by the arrangement of men or by the arrangement of hell, beloved, but by the arrangement of the triune God, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. The Apostle Peter says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 23, the death of Christ at Calvary was accomplished. It was not an accident, but it was by divine arrangement of infinite love through an eternal and everlasting covenant, the work of divine providence. The Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life voluntarily as an act of free obedience to the Father. No man forced him to die, beloved. God the Father did not compel him to die or take his life from him. Oh no, my friends, our Savior died voluntarily by his own will. His death was accomplished by his own will. He poured out his own soul unto death, Isaiah says. It's true, as we have seen. It pleased the Father to bruise him. The Father cried, as we saw in Zechariah, awake, O sword, against the one that is my fellow. Smite the shepherd. But our blessed Lord Jesus, our precious Christ, took the cup of wrath in his own hands. The Son of God put the cup of wrath to his own lips. The Son of God fell willingly upon the sword of justice. Our Savior died by his own will. The Lord Jesus laid down his own life. He said, I lay it down and I take it up again. He did it for the satisfaction of justice, so that God may be just and the justifier of those, Paul said, which believe in Christ Jesus. Our Savior laid down his life as the substitute for chosen sinners. The Son of God laid down his life for the glory of the Father. Our blessed Redeemer laid down his life because of his love for us. The Lord Jesus laid down his life that he might take it again. Notice now the Father's love for the Son. Our Savior says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life. I know of nothing in heaven or earth so sweet to meditate upon, so incredibly impossible to explain, as the Father's love for his darling, dying Son. I think about the love that I have for my only son, John Anthony Crawford. He's the beat of my heart, and I love him better than the breath going in and out of my body just now as I share these words with you. But my love for him pales in comparison. It is nothing. It is a pittance, my friends. It's a mere shadow compared to the substance of the Father's love for his Son. The Father loved him for the loveliness of his Godhead. The Father loved his Son for the beauty of his holy humanity. The Father loved him because he laid down his life for us. The Father loved him as that glorious, saving, effectual mediator of his people. God himself never saw anything in all the world so lovely in all of his creation, my friends. I've been blessed by God's grace to see the noble works of God's creation in this world, and they are breathtaking, they are stunning. The Grand Canyon in all of its glory, the mighty redwoods of Yosemite, all the incredible glories of the Serengeti Plain on the dark continent, the Great Rift Valley in all of its august majesty. But nothing is so beautiful, my friends, to God the Father. Nothing is so infinitely worthy. Nothing is so worthy of his love and admiration as the death of his dear Son. Nothing so beautiful as his Son dying upon Calvary, upon the cursed tree for his people. Here in his love, there in his glory, my friends. And what is it that the Father finds lovely about that incredible, awful sight? It's the perfect obedience of the Son of God that was beautiful to the Father. Because of his great act of love, because of his great act of Christ free obedience to the Father of our surety. The Father has given his Son everything. He said, ask of me and I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance. He's made him the heir of this universe, friends, and given him a name above every other name because of his perfect obedience. Let us learn from the words and the example of our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ, that though God's child may suffer greatly in this world, and they may have to carry a heavy cross, and may often have the Father's face hidden from him, yet he is the darling object of his Father's love. Never did the Father more fully love his Son than when he was heaping upon him the fury of his wrath. And never forget that. And that's why God honors those that honor his Son. The only way that you and I can honor the Son is to have complete confidence in him. The only way of access to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever we go to him in prayer, it honors the Son of God and it honors the Father as we pledge every time we pray and say, for Jesus' sake, we honor the Father by honoring the Son. Only worthiness of the Father's love is through the approval of Christ. Yet in Christ, because of Christ, for Christ's sake, God loves us. God the Father gave his Son to die for us. God the Son laid down his life for us. God the Spirit sprinkles us with the blood of Christ and declares us redeemed and now irresistibly draws us to the Father because of Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul said, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Listen, friends, let us remember these simple lessons that we should draw from our Savior's obedience for every child of God in this world. Firstly, though God's children may suffer greatly in this world, often carrying a heavy cross and having the Father's face hidden from him, yet we should remember that he is the darling object of his Father's love. Remember that. Never did the Father more fully love his Son than when he was heaping upon him the fury of his wrath. Oftentimes, we think that God has hid his face from us, and because we can't feel him and sense him, we think that he doesn't love us. Remember that. Never more was the Father more proud of his Son than when his face was hidden from him at Calvary. Hold on to that when you can't feel the Father's face shining in your life. Number two, God honors those who honor his Son. The only way that we can honor the Father is to honor the Son by placing all of our confidence in him. Listen, I know that you trust in him for heaven. I know that you're trusting in him for your eternal life. But what about trusting in him every day for your way? Why do we worry? Why do we fear? Why do we shrink away? It's dishonoring to the Father when we don't honor the Son by trusting in him, not just for eternity, but trusting in the Son of God in time as well. God honors those who trust his Son. Remember, the only way of access to the Holy Father is through the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say this as kindly as I can to my dear Catholic brothers and sisters. Mary is not a co-redemptrix. Mary has done nothing for your salvation. Only the Lord Jesus Christ drank the cup of God's wrath against your sin. The only access that any of us have is through the obedience of the Son of God on Calvary's rugged brow. Our only worthiness is of the Father's love is through the approval and acceptance that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And lastly, remember this. God loves his people. How do you know that God loves us, preacher? How can you say that? I'm such a great sinner. There's no way that God can love me. You're a sinner, preacher. How can you know that God loves you? How can you have that kind of confidence? How can I know that God loves his people? Oh, beloved, how God must love us. How can we know that? Because the Father gave his Son to die for us. The Son laid down his life for us. The Spirit now sprinkles us with the blood of Christ and declares us redeemed. I know the Father must love us because he gave his Son to die, the most precious thing that he had. And he sends the Spirit of his Son into our hearts today to testify to that end. Remember those incredible words of the Apostle Paul, those words of surety and security in Romans chapter 8. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not freely with him give us all things? How could we doubt that God would love us? He did not spare his own Son. Jesus Christ obediently drank down the dregs of the cup of the fury and the wrath of God against our sin. How could we ever doubt if God would not spare his Son? If God would allow his Son to obediently go to death, not just any death, but the death of the cross, God did not spare his Son at Calvary. God didn't spare his Son as the plowers made deep their furrows upon his back, as they plucked the beard from his face. God did not spare him. How he must love us. Hold to that. Embrace that in the week ahead. When hell would rage and venom spite, remember that Christ will save his heart's delight. God loves you. The Son loves you. And we have Calvary, the death of the obedient Son of God, as fresh evidence of that. Go forward courageously in the love of God for us through the death of his Son. Until next week, the Lord bless you all, is my prayer.
As we bid you farewell today, please remember to tune in next week to this channel at the same time for the Gospel of Grace broadcast. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Please pray for us. And until next week, may the Lord richly bless you all is our prayer.